Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So, we go from one rally on the 27th and obviously mark the calendar, 11 a.m. in the Capitol Rotunda, to tomorrow, the 20th, another rally at the Capitol, press conference to announce legislation that, this is one of those things that, again, it just seems to be a no-brainer to me that I don't even understand why you have to organize around getting politicians to jump on board with the idea that we need better staffing in our hospitals. We need better patient to caregiver ratios because, hey, we all at some point, like it or not, we're going to get old, we're going to get sick, and we're going to need help. So to me, it just seems like just common sense. But tomorrow, the rollout of House Bill 876 and Senate Bill 450 that will call attention to the growing patient care crisis driven by what is unprecedented short staffing. That's why I've asked Bobbi Ozanek to come talk with us. She's a nurse from southwestern Pennsylvania. Bobbi, thanks for taking time for us.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Thanks for taking time for us. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for taking time for this. I was really excited to hear that you have some interest in hearing about this.
Well, at some point, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to get older. I'm gonna need help, and I'm going to want to not be stuck on the toilet for 20 hours waiting for someone to come help me. I think having reasonable staffing levels so that I get the care that I need. This is purely self-interest for me, Bobbi.
You know, it's self-interest for a lot of people, and you know, when you say it's common sense, it's completely common sense. When I say we, I mean the Nurses of Pennsylvania, the organization that I'm affiliated with that wants to get this inducted into law. You know, we sat down with legislators. We sat down with them numerous times. And more often than not, I get the comments, you know, why isn't this common sense? The problem is common sense isn't law. And since it's not law, it can be broken.
Right. And so walk me through what this legislation would do. I guess, first, what's the situation today? How bad is it, you know, from your perspective as a nurse who deals with this every day? How bad is this scenario?
So, you know, every nurse, when you get out of school, you get out all starry-eyed, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. You're going to help people. You get to the hospital and you realize that even when you try your hardest to help people, You lay in bed at night and you kind of notice, hey, this didn't happen. Hey, that didn't happen. I've been in healthcare for 5 years, so I'm newer than a lot of people that are affiliated with this. But at the end of the day, we're losing nurses as fast as we're gaining them, you know, them leaving the bedside or leaving the nursing career because you realize your patients aren't necessarily safe. It's nothing negligent. It's nothing intentional. It just happens. Things fall by the wayside. You know, I think that there was an article that came out probably a couple of months ago that, you know, by 2020, we're going to be short 1 million nurses.
Wow.
And that's insane to think, but they leave the bedside as fast as they come because they get there, they get burnt out, and it's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. You know, I've known nurses over the years. In fact, I think back, you know, a bunch of years ago before I was married, I dated a nurse who they used to work 12 on, 12 off back then. And, you know, there were times where, you know, she had to work, you know, double shifts. And you go, you're working 24 hours in a row? How is that legal? How is that sane? How is that possible?
It shouldn't be. Thankfully, there's, you know, since then legislation that stops the mandation of a nurse having to stay that long. We're actually legally only allowed to work 20 hours in a row.
Oh, only 20 hours. Like I said, this was a long time ago I dated this person, so I hope it's better now, but it sounds like it's not much better. I look at this and I go, you know, no wonder people are being burnt out. No wonder people are leaving the profession. I got to tell you, I want my nurse who's going to come in and jab me with a needle. I want her fresh and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I want her well-rested, well-educated. I want her well-trained. I want her well-paid. I want to make sure that she's the best she can be at the peak that she can possibly be the moment she jabs me or anybody else.
Well, it's great in theory. Every nurse comes to work in the morning, you get your coffee because you should never talk to a nurse before she's had her morning cup of coffee. But you come to work and you get your patient assignments. And realistically, when you get to work, I mean, my hospital has some standards. I've talked to other nurses who have some standards. But the honest answer is a nurse can have as many patients as the hospital can give them. You know, everyone, when they go to work, like, I've had a bad day today, sucks. You know, I've had a great day today, was great. But you don't always know how many patients you're going to have. In the state of Pennsylvania, and actually 49 out of 50 states, there is no legislation to say, hey, this many patients is too many. State of California right now is the only state in the United States that has legislation that decides what, you know, what a limited amount of patients is.
So what would be the number of patients? I mean, because I'm stopping and thinking about it. I'm going, well, you know, you can only be in one place at one time. How many people can you how many bells can you chase? How many fires can you put out? You know, how many lives can you save? So what is the number that we're looking for? Or are we looking for a hard cap on, you know, maybe 10 patients or 15 or 5? What are we looking for?
With the legislation that we're seeking, it would state that a nurse in a med-surg setting, which is your basic everyday setting, you go to the hospital with the flu, pneumonia, a nurse would not be able to take more than 4 patients barring any sort of, you know, national emergency.
That seems rational.
So it would cap out at 4 and be adjusted accordingly for the acuity of a patient. So med-surg nurses would have 4 patients. Step-down nurses would have 3 patients. ICUs would remain 1 to 2. ICUs are pretty much the only hospital setting which does not exceed 1 or 2 patients. Now, I've spoken to hundreds of nurses over the entire state over the past year with attempting to get this into legislation, and I've heard instances of, you know, somewhere in rural PA where an ICU nurse is being asked to take a third patient because it's a patient that can't be moved out of the ICU because there are no beds or there's, you know, no staff for that patient to be moved out of the ICU. So they're being offered what we call a comfort measures patient, and they're being said, you know, they'll get them and they'll say, you know, this is a CMO that you have to take care of because we can't put them anywhere. So it's often mandated there in ICUs, but nowhere else in a hospital. I've heard nurses in a maternity setting, you know, mommies and babies are our most vulnerable population. And I've had nurses tell me, you know, they've been coupled with 2 pushing mothers at the exact same time. So how does one manage that?
Well, you got 2 hands, right?
2 hands in 2 different rooms, and that would be a great act of, you know, God if that could happen.
But you just put them right next to each other.
If that were possible, I'm almost certain that some hospitals would do it.
I mean, it sounds ludicrous, but you're right. If a CEO could get away with it, you know they would. So I guess the question I have is how much of this is, you know, the bean counters, you know, saying this is the new reality. How much of this is, you know, you've got, you know, CPAs running hospitals instead of doctors. How much of that is how much is just it's a shortage and there aren't enough hands on deck?
Oh, we're definitely in a world where, you know, somebody who hasn't worked a day in their lives at bedside or maybe did their 6 months out of nursing school before they progressed up whatever ladder they went through, saying, okay, this is how we're going to do things. You know, there was in Massachusetts, they recently tried to do something very similar to what we're attempting to do, but you have people there in the Massachusetts Nursing Association. They haven't been a bedside nurse in 10, 20, 30 years saying, no, this is how we should do it because this is how we did it before. The reality is patients are sicker today than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Nurses are being asked to put their personal safety, their personal needs on the line, put their patients' personal needs on the line. In a realistic setting, a nurse could have, you know, 5, 6, 7 patients. Patient A had an accident. You want more than anything to be able to clean up patient A. Well, patient B has needs. Patient C's mom, brother, sister has questions for you. And doctors on the phone for patient D. So unless nurses can figure out how to clone themselves, it's not realistic that they're able to go all these places. Patients are being placed in danger because their nurse is in 3 different different places in their headspace and physically in one space.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't want that, especially if I'm in need of skilled nursing help. I don't want them to be thinking about something else. Look, I've had nurses jab, and I go back to the jabbing with needles because I'm, you know, it's not that it hurts. It's just that I'm needle phobic. I've had them jab me and miss, and that's not happy. I am not happy. And I often wonder, you know, are they thinking about other things other than jabbing me with this needle? Because fortunately for me, being jabbed with a needle is the most invasive procedures I've had, knock on something. But when it comes to time that I'm going to need something, I want people who are going to be there. I want them to be, you know, focused and not worrying about 15 other things.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how many jobs do people have? You know, you have to put everything else aside. Nursing, we care for people. That's what we do. That's why I went to school. I love my job. I love taking care of people. But at the end of the night, when I'm laying in bed with my husband or playing with my daughter and something dawns on me that something happened that could have been prevented, there have been multitude of studies that show patient deaths decrease when nurses have smaller ratios. Accidents decrease when nurses have smaller ratios. Medication error. Imagine you go to the hospital and you need blood pressure you need a blood pressure pill, and the nurse is in a multitude of things, and somehow you get something you might be allergic to. You know, I've heard multitudes of stories from different nurses in different positions, and, you know, I think the first week I was involved with Nurses as PA and seeking this legislation, it dawned on me that this is an epidemic across the state. It's not centralized. It's not any, you know, any specific nurse's fault to blame. It's happening everywhere. And the beautiful thing about us doing this in legislation and putting this towards legislation is we're able to convert to nurses across the state. You know, you most of the time you deal with the same 20, 30 people you work with on a unit. We're able to speak to nurses across the state and say, how can we fix this?
Yeah.
As nurses, we practice under evidence-based practice, which means evidence shows that this works. And evidence from California that patient satisfaction, patient safety, less nurse burnout, it happens when we can control the amount of people that a nurse has.
Again, I come back to that common sense thing and, you know, actually talking to nurses and asking nurses how we make care better, how we make outcomes better. Because I'll tell you, every time I've been in a setting where I've had to be in a hospital, either for someone else or for myself, you know, it's always been the nurses who have been the most valuable asset, not the doctors. They always talk past you or down to you. It's always been the nurses who take the time to explain and have the skill and the knowledge to be able to help and direct a little bit when needed. And I think it's just, to me, it's incumbent on the rest of us to make sure that you guys are taken care of and that we keep nurses in the profession. So how can we help push this along? What can we do?
So what's going to happen starting tomorrow, at least for this year, because we've been working to build this momentum. Nurses of PA have been talking to legislators for some time now, especially along, you know, with the election, getting our dominoes in a row, if you will. But starting tomorrow, we reintroduce this bill at Harrisburg. Dean DeGeramo, and I'm really hoping I didn't butcher his name, is reintroducing him. This is a very important bill to him. You know, he sat down with nurses and he said, this has to happen. Governor Wolf has already stepped forward and said, you know, when this hits my desk, not if, we're going to make this happen. So tomorrow there are going to be over two dozen nurses from across the state. You know, I'm journeying, leaving Pittsburgh at 6 o'clock in the morning to be there. We're going to reintroduce this, and we're going to visit with legislators and remind them why this is so important. We had dozens of legislators agree towards the end of last year how important this is, and we're going to revisit them and remind them that this is coming. Once we're able to get this reintroduced, it'll be introduced to the Health Committee in the state, and we're going to spend time talking to people on the committee and explaining to them, you know, this is your safety. This is your mother, brother, father. Like you said, even though there are a multitude of nurses in the state, every last person in America, in Pennsylvania, is going to be in the hospital at some point in time, whether it's to be, you know, you got the flu or you had an accident at work, something's going to happen and you're going to be in the hospital. And we're starting to remind people tomorrow that this bill is going to save lives, and the lives that it can save could be there.
Yep. No, I mean, that's, if we got to use the radical self-interest thing, you're going to need a nurse and you're going to want her to be there. You're going to want her to be refreshed. You're going to want her to be focused. It just makes sense to me. And the fact that, you know, Gene DiGirolamo is on this, you know, a Republican legislator, you know, quite helpful to me.
Well, the beautiful thing is talking to the different legislators that we've even met with, talking to even the different nurses, we even talked to, you know, people in communities, Republicans, Democrats, independents, this bill directly impacts everyone. So once we get this in and once we can make everyone realize how important this is, it's going to benefit, you know, not even nurses being all ready and bushy-tailed and being ready to take care of their patients. A patient is going to be able to feel safe walking into the hospital. A nurse, ancillary staff, doctors are always going to take the best care of you possible. The problem is sometimes my best isn't good enough. So once this bill actually gains leverage and gets passed, everyone is safer, from the staff to the patients to the visitors. There's a lot of people will be a lot more lax. We'll be able to, you know, check on our patients to ensure that they don't fall. We'll be able to ensure that patients are getting proper medication, patients are getting proper care. In a long-term care facility here in the state, there is contact hours. They don't have specific ratios, but the contact hours are so low, and they include a variety of the staff that a patient interacts with day to day. One day, you know, your mother or your father, you could even be in a rehab facility and be in a position where you can't take care of yourself. And to be able to have someone who has the adequate amount of time and workload to take care of you is going to make all the difference.
No, you're right.
It's really, from a medical standpoint, you know, nurses do medical things day to day, but you also take care of basic needs. To be a person, I thankfully have never been in the position where I've had to have someone help me clean me up if I had an accident. I mean, I have a child, so obviously I've cleaned her up when she needed to have her diaper changed. But to be in a position where you can't do that for yourself and to lay there because somebody, to no fault of their own, has more patients that they can handle, it's ridiculous to realize that you're going to have a nurse walk in the door and want to walk out the door a year later, that depletes education and knowledge. So eventually we're going to run out of experienced nurses because all the younger nurses have left the bedside because it's not safe for them. It's not safe for their patients.
I hope people will show up tomorrow at the big rally. What time is it?
Oh, God. I'm so sorry. We're going to be at the Capitol starting at 9 o'clock in the morning to do some preparation and visit with legislators. And I believe 11 o'clock, we're going to be having a press conference to bring even more knowledge to this.
Well,
and we're going to spend the afternoon with even more legislators, but this is an ongoing thing.
No. And so the hope is that you get out there, you hammer on the doors, and you raise awareness. And I hope folks will reach out to their representatives and tell your representatives you want this pushed along. Bobby, I appreciate the time. Keep up the great work, and as this continues, we'd love to have you come back and share your adventures with us.
Well, I definitely look forward to speaking to you again, and I appreciate you wanting to get this out to the masses that this is happening, and we're trying to make Pennsylvania a safer state.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Bobby. I appreciate it. You know, I look at this, and again, you know, as we've been saying, you know, if it has to come down to radical self-interest, that's where it has to start, because it could be you. And it just could be you. If you're going to call your House members, it's House Bill 876, Senate Bill 450. I'm going to take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.